Good morning. Okay, tell to the person next to you, I'm very happy today. Are you? Okay. Make sure that your neighbor is really happy. You know, I've been in the ministry for long years, and I promise to myself that every time I stand, I make sure that everyone will be happy, okay, and as well as the people, you know. Okay. Last week, we discussed about the vision for growth or vision for a multitude, and it focuses more on about the power of discipleship and how discipleship really affects the growth of the church. And now I want to go deeper on that matters about the discipleship. So my topic today, but honestly, you know, as I said to you before, that these things that I'm really want to share with the pastors, it is a 7 to 8 topics, and I'm really having a hard time to compress it, but I've been thinking if I would compress it and present it to you in such a manner that it that everything will be presented, I guess some of the things that you might get will be lacking of something, you know. You might not digest any or anything or some things about that. That's why I've been praying that what really the Lord wants me to share to you, as Pastor Chris requested me, it's like something like seed to sow in your heart, that somehow I believe God will flourish that seed in your heart. So, because basically some of the things that that I will share in accordance with that principles are mechanics and how to do things that would fit into the principles on how to carry church growth. Okay, amen. Okay, but today I want to go deeper on about discipleship. So the title of my message today is The Strength of Discipleship. Okay. One of the major reasons why churches are not growing is taking the discipleship matters very lightly. We see discipleship as course to finish, or a program to follow. I honestly believe that it is beyond traditional perception. It is deeper than that. It's not a program. You know, a lot of discipleship materials, discipleship work in the church, and you might wonder, oh, we finished that. We finished that 101, discipleship 102. I don't know. You will still be wondering, why is it people are still the same? Because maybe we miss the deeper concept or the deeper perception about discipleship. It is more than a program, but there is a program in genuine discipleship. It is a course, but more than a course. Okay, you see, we don't disregard discipleship as program and course, but it is more than that. What are the strengths of discipleship? How discipleship affects our lives, our family, or our families, churches, and nations. And these are the things that I really want to share with you. There are things that how the discipleship could really affect your life, your family, and especially the church, and in general as a nation. Yeah, have you remembered what we discussed? What would be the whole world will look like if every one of us is a disciple of Christ? You see. Okay. There are things that I want to present. Number one, discipleship obtains God's favor. Okay. Let's see. Genesis 18, verse 19. Okay. Genesis 18, verse 19. Let's open our Bible. Okay. It says, "For I have chosen him," this is Abraham, okay, "so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about to Abraham what he has promised him." Okay. This verse or this scripture is composed of two things. Number one, the task to Abraham, and the promise or the favor. Okay, let's see first the task. Let's notice, "so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right." That is discipleship. You see? It is discipleship. God promised Abraham that he will be a father of multitude. He will bear as many children as stars in the sky. But his mission or his task is not just bearing a child to multiply, but there is a purpose for multiplying it. Okay. He said, but to ensure, or he not just to bear many children, but to ensure that all his children will be his followers as he follows God. Amen. Okay? That is his task. He follows God, and make sure that his children follow him. May I ask you a question? Is our children following you? Following us? Apparently, for the church to dream, or we dream for a church not only to have many people coming into our church, but make sure that every people who come are being discipled. Okay? Apparently, it shows that the vision for multiplication will only work in a father and son relationship environment. You see, the vision for multitude is basically will work, as I said before, that it will work in a community, in a family-community relationship, in a father and son relationship. That is the strategy of God to make multiplication really happen the way God designed it. Okay, father and son relationship. The church must have the environment like Paul and Timothy, the mentor and mentee relationship. Amen? It will not work without that kind of environment, that you treat your disciple as your son and daughter. And of course, your children should be your first disciple. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Think, if you don't, I think I have said it before, that if you don't disciple your children, the world will disciple them. I tell you, 24/7. The world never sleeps. They are after your children. They are after them. But if we don't stand and have this kind of environment that I will disciple my children, the world will be after them. Okay, let's go to the favor. So that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So it means if we do our task, then this is the favor. We have this favor. The favor of God. He will fulfill what he has promised. Oh, what is God's promise to Abraham? As we see the story of Abraham. Abraham, there are three dimensions of favor of God in his life. Number one, distinction. He will be blessed among other men, and his children will be different from other nations. They have distinctions. Then they have protection. You see, wherever Abraham goes, wherever his children goes, and until now, his descendants are being protected by God. See? And then, of course, provision. Provision. Yeah. Okay. John 15, verse 16. This is one of the favors of God to us. Is we have the power or the privilege of having our prayers being answered. It says, John 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Amen? Amen. So tell to the person, ask the person next to you, do you want your prayer to be answered? It's like something like this, you know. If I have a worker, for example, I'm an employer, and I ask my worker to please paint this house, and they do gardening, and then my worker will say, "Oh, where is my wage? Oh, have you done what I commanded you?" "No, I'm just gardening because I feel this is what I want." Do you really it will work? No, I will not pay him because that's not the way, that's not the thing that I'm asking him to do. I ask him to paint the house. So the same thing as in this verse. If you do discipleship, this is the very thing God asks us to do. Disciple, and you will be assured of his prayer. Your prayer will be answered. Amen? Tell to the person next to you, "I got it." Amen. Number two. Okay, this is what the other thing the discipleship can do to your life. Okay, number two, it prepares us for future glory. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 to 20 says, "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned, by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly. I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will give glory to the presence in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." You know, this verse speaks about the passion and the anxiousness of a disciple maker. Okay? To keep the disciple under his care. This is the passion that he's making sure. Paul was very anxious that all the disciples, all the believers of Christ, would be preserved. Have you felt the tone of Paul when he said it? That he's very anxious that his disciples might be lost. How many of you cannot sleep well because you are thinking so much about the disciples? To be honest, how among you are really, I cannot sleep. Oh, why can't you sleep? Oh, I'm thinking about Robert. You know, he's a new one. You know. Can you do that? Do you have that kind of passion? Oh no, may the Lord strike our heart. Amen. Okay. Why? Because Satan is after our disciples. He's chasing them. He will do everything to catch them, to bring them back to the Word. You believe? When the Israelites were just being delivered from the power of Egypt, remember, Pharaoh chased after them. When your disciples, or when a people, or when a man or woman receive the Lord, I tell you, certainly, sooner or after, the devil will follow them. Okay. Disciples are the glory, crown of glory, or our crown of glory and our joy. May I ask you, are you ready to face your Creator? How? You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm not afraid of death. What I'm afraid of is when I face my Creator, because I feel I'm not ready. There are people, there are a lot of Christians feels the same way, that as if they are not ready to face their Creator. And my question is this, when are you going to prepare? And how do you know that you are already prepared? You see? May I ask you a question again? You know, don't be annoyed when I ask you, please ask your neighbor, because that your person next to you might be sleeping by now. That's why I keep, tell to the person next to you. Okay, yeah. Okay, tell to the person next to you, are you really ready when you face our Creator? And my question is, how do you know that you are prepared? How do you know? I tell you how. I tell you right now that you can confidently say, now I'm ready. When you have a disciple. Oh, this is a very hard thing. When you have a disciple. See? Paul says, do you know that why I'm very anxious? Because the devil is after you, but because you know you are our glory, our joy in the day when we face our Creator. You see, have you seen in the Scripture, in the Bible, that, may I ask your name?
Robert.
Is it the Lord will ask you, oh, what is your profession? Okay, I'm engineer. I build this. I build that. I build that. You know, I build the tower in New York. Yeah. Do you think the Lord will ask that? Oh, you are a very good builder. Yeah. Oh, come, follow me to my glory. Oh, would you, Sir Gerwin? What is your your profession? And then he will ask, I manage the financial empire in the whole world. Oh, very good. Come to my glory. Is it in the Bible? He will not ask your profession. He will not ask what you, whatever title you had. He will ask you, where is your disciple? And you will say, oh, Lord, I have only 12 at my back. And at their back, they have 144. At their back, they have 1728. You see? Because it shows disciples is our future glory. That's why I can tell you, you are not ready to die unless you have disciples. This is very hard thing. Oh, my heart is pounding. So do you have disciple? Have you seen this? At least, are you getting it? Yeah. At least you have your children, you have your wife, and how about my husband? Disciple your husband? Okay. You are not ready to die if you don't have disciple. At least you have family. Populating heaven with disciples is a proof of Satan's defeat. Do you believe? Revelation 7 verse 9 says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." You see, you know, Satan is after worship. And when we disciple people and bring them to heaven, one day they will appear in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, and they will worship there. Imagine how happy and glorious would that be. You see? That is populated. And as if we are saying, oh, the devil. We wish that he has nothing left. Okay? That will worship him. Okay, number three. What the discipleship can do. Discipleship can express our love for Jesus. Okay? May I ask you a question again? Would you please raise your hand if you love the Lord? Who among you love the Lord? Raise of you. Okay, everyone. Lovely. Okay. Let us read if we really love the Lord. Okay. Okay. John 21, verse 15 to 17. John 15. It says, when they had finished eating, it is a setting where all the disciples were being brought back to the Lord. He met them again in Sea of Galilee. And he was talking to Peter at this point. So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Okay. A lot of Bible students usually theologize the interpretation of this conversation. And I used to hear this, and I used to, my the input to me about this. It's about the Greek word of love, the phileo, the phileo, then the other, the last one, and the Greek word of that, the last question of the Lord to Peter is agape love. As if in the first time, he did not got it. The second time, he did not got it. Then finally, at the last question, I got it. Oh, it's about the God kind of love. Okay? That is pretty... I think that's right. But, you know, that is... I see it that it is more than that. It is very simple. Okay? This is very simple. The real intention, I think the interpretation of that conversation is not in the actual words, but the intention. We should get the intention, not just the interpretation of the Greek word of love. Do you agapo, do you phileo love me? Do you phileo love me or do you agapo love me? Yes, that's the right interpretation of the Greek word. But let's see the intention. The intention of that conversation was very simple. This is thing. Are you here? This is very simple. If any man loves the Lord, he must have disciples under his care, or disciple under his care, for Christ's interest. That's the real intention of that conversation. If you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, take care of my sheep. That is discipleship. Amen. Who among you love the Lord? Oh, us right now. Do you have now disciples? Do you have someone with you and they okay for Christ's sake? If you don't have one, find someone beginning this day. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank God I'm a Filipino. Amen. In other words, if you love the Lord, you are a disciple keeper. Amen. Number four. Okay. This, what the discipleship can do. It gives room for God to do his part. Good. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. It is clearly says he in this verse that only God makes things grow. Do you believe that? Only God makes things grow. Regardless of the things that we can do, what we are able to do whatever aspects of the ministry we have, remember, only God gives growth. Okay? If we have, you know, I have just one illustration here. For example, if you see, look at this. This is a 10 pence. Yeah, okay. Imagine this is a seed. What do you see in this seed? Metal. What do you see in the seed? If you have seed in your hand, what do you see on the seed? But potential, okay. You see, for example, if I see, this is a seed of a mango tree. Okay, mango. I see a porous in a seed. You see? That's how the potential of a seed, okay. But imagine, the Lord says that He's the one who grows. Okay? If I would just throw this, okay, then just throw that seed and just ask, Oh Lord, You said in your word that you make things grow. Just make it grow as you have promised. Do you think that seed will grow? Oh, the Lord promised it. Okay. Oh, yeah, I get it, yeah. The seed needs to be properly planted. It needs to till its ground and water it. Okay? Although God's miracle working power is available for growth, it will not manifest unless there are available and responsible workers. Amen? So God is just available. He will just let things grow, provided that there are someone who really planted it well. So this is where our part should enter. Okay? As if God will not do his part unless we do our part. Amen? So if we don't do it in the church, if we don't really take time, and we just let, oh Lord God, oh God, just make these people grow, then I'll just sit by and then just be relaxed. As you said, you are the one who grows. Do you think it will grow? Perhaps it will sprout. Somehow it will, but it will not last. There should be a hand to protect it, to work on it, water it, for God to do his part. Amen? Acts 2:46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke the bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were saved. It is clearly says that it is the Lord who adds people to church. Number one, it is the Lord who grows. The number two, it is the Lord who adds. Okay? It is clearly stated here. Then if the Lord adds, then let's do nothing. Is it, will it work? No, I don't think so. He only looks at a proper environment. If the Lord sees that we have a proper environment, God will add people to the church. Our part is to make sure that our congregation, our fellowship, has a proper environment. Okay, you see the environment? They were together in gladness and in sincere heart. That's a good environment. Are we united, really united, rallying our hearts, ourselves, to our leaders, to our pastor? Are we really sincere about things of God? I tell you, when God sees that we are a good environment, God will add something to the church. Amen? In our country, when there is a disaster, you know, our country are disaster-prone country. Prone. Is it a country? You know, the National Disaster Coordinating Council, when there is a disaster in a community or in a province, they will ask on the provincial government how many hospitals there, and how many, for example, in one town, there are 3 hospitals. And they will ask how many doctors and hospital in one hospital. You know, the whole support of the government will give to those hospital with enough doctor and enough nurses. Because all the people, all the patients will be brought there because they will be properly treated. You know, if there is, the church is like a hospital. You know. Amen. If the Lord sees in this church that there are lots of spiritual doctor and nurses here, God will just add, because there is somebody here who will really take care of these hurting people. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Or are we just very indifferent to the people? When the strangers comes to this church, how do they really feel? Or would you just look, how are you? Or they will feel, oh, there's something great here. I feel the Lord is bringing me here. There is an atmosphere of care. There is an atmosphere of healing. You know, God will just add. You see? I just want to make sure that you are still here. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Number five. And this is, let's go to our family. You know, discipleship can save and protect your family. Do you believe that discipleship can protect and save your family? Ephesians 5:22 says, and 25, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Husband, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her. You know, discipleship is basically submission to Christ, or honoring Christ and imitating his life and following his words. Paul understood that the key to establish marriage is submission and love. Do you believe that? He understood that the key for established relationship, a marriage relationship, is the respect, honor, and love. See? Okay, so submission and love for a husband and a wife, or submission and love, can only be learned and practiced if both the husband and the wife are followers of Christ. It is easy for the wife to respect and to honor her husband if he herself is a follower of Christ. And the man or the husband would be just naturally love her wife because he loves the Lord. Amen. Amen? So the key, you see, if you are a disciple of Christ, certainly you will have a great family. Amen? So, let's look. Imagine what would it bring to a marriage if the husband and a wife are followers of Christ's commandments. You know, there are 3 great commandments of the Lord. So I know you know it. You know this. Like this one. Love your enemy. Who among you is your enemy? If you follow the Lord says, love your enemy. Oh, darling, before we fight, let us pray. Darling, oh, the Lord, oh, you quarrel me again. Oh, Here's my gift to you. Here's my present. A 24-carat gold, a diamond. Oh, why did you? Because you are my enemy. Oh, darling, let's go a holiday in a Caribbean island. And let's have a fight there. Oh, why would you do that? Because you are my enemy. Do you think that the husband and the wife will separate? No. You see, discipleship can save your family and protect your family. Another one, do unto others what you would have them to do for you. If you will analyze, basically, one of the reasons why there are marriage breakup is because they did not have, as if they seems, they did not have what they expected from their partner. You know, when you are in a marriage, forget idealism. Who are married now? Today, you need to decide, I throw away my idealism. Put it into a bin. Okay? Because if you expect, you will, if you really will be up to for that idealism, you might be frustrated, might be disappointed. Because the one whom you look at, or your partner, when you are courting her, will not be the same. Will not be the same when you get into marriage. Before you see your wife's like a coke, a bottled coke. But when you get married, still coke, but coke in can. Oh no, what happened to you? Okay. Oh, and a husband, when you marry, yes, I do. Oh, you see, you are very flattered. Oh, he's very gentleman, macho. And when before he has a six packs, and now one pack. And when you look at your husband, oh, my husband, what happened to you? No. The Bible says, do unto others what you would have them to do for you. See, if we keep on asking, if we keep on finding what you expected to your spouse, it will tear your marriage. The secret thing is this. Do first what you expected your husband or your couple or your partner are expecting you, and you will get what you are expecting. Did you get? Let me say it again. Okay, do first things that your partner is expecting you, and you will get what you are expecting. Did you get it? Not just, oh, I expect you to do this, to do that. No, you will fail, and you will hurt your partner. So you see, if we are following Christ, do first. If you want to, this is the other way around first. The commandment of the Lord, it is the initiative is in you. Do first, and you will do unto others first. Okay, and the husband and wife, if we practice this, you will save and protect your marriage. Amen? That's why, another thing, forgive. Okay, who among you are married? Yeah, of course, a lot of people here who are married. Can you say to me that, oh, since we were married, we never have a fight. We never have any quarrel. Can you testify to me? No, everyone has. Amen. But the key, you know, sometimes, you know, if we have that feeling that there is unforgiveness, that there's still bitterness, that's the root of separation. Okay? But if we practice forgiveness, if we are follower of Christ, practicing forgiveness, then we'll have our marriage will be saved. Amen? So, to all those singles, would you please raise your hands? To all those single. Oh, right. Lovely. Okay. I have a profound suggestion to you. Okay? I tell you, this is a profound suggestion. Okay. Oh, where is it? I have a profound suggestion. This is my suggestion. Marry a person who is a genuine disciple of Christ, and I will guarantee you, you will have a happy marriage. Did you get it? Amen. Do not get a person who is not a disciple of Christ. You are as if you are get a stone and bang it in your head. Okay? Marry a person who is a disciple, a genuine disciple of Christ, and I tell you, you will have a happy marriage. Amen? Raise up your hand, those singles, and say to your neighbor, now I know whom I will choose. Don't just be flattered, oh, he's very macho, he's a good, no, don't be flattered. Make sure that he's a disciple of Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay. You know, I'll reserve the other two. Okay. When Christ commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, do you believe, do you think the Lord made a mistake when he commanded, go and make disciples of all nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Do you believe the Lord made a mistake? You know, when the Lord commanded his disciple to make disciples of all nations, he knows that discipleship is the solution to all problems of the nation. And this is the solution for the problem of family. This is the solution for all the problem of the community. Amen? Discipleship. Follow Christ. May this presentation, brothers and sisters, gives us or change our perception, and may it give us a conviction to give our life to it and never to take discipleship lightly. Amen. Would you please stand up? Okay. Before we end, I just ask you right now to make a declaration. I have a declaration here. Okay? Amen. Have you found it beneficial? This message beneficial to you? Okay. Then we will have a declaration. Okay? Do you believe that there's a power in declaration? Okay. And as you say it, I ask you to say it with all conviction. Amen? Okay, here's the declaration. Following Christ... Oh, okay, let us say it all together or together. Okay, one, two, three.
Following Christ
is my life. It is my goal, my vision, my passion. It is the only solution for nation transformation. Amen. Say to the person next to you, I am a disciple of Christ. Say it with conviction. You are a disciple of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.